Joining me now is Leo Holman. Leo Holman is an author. Leo's not answering. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. In fact, I'll tell you what, Logan. Let's show him that 2-minute clip on the Moment of Truth Summit. Let's show him that 2-minute while I blow up Leo's phone and get Leo's attention. So let's watch this 2-minute clip. This just came out today, right, Logan? Yeah, Mike sent me this last night, said, what do you think of this? I said, it's awesome. So this just came out today. Watch this, and we'll go grab Leo. Watch this. Logan says, 1 second. All right. He doesn't have his normal big machine he's used to having. He actually got a new machine. We have 3 of them now, and not everything is programmed on the new machine that's on his old machine. So he's scrambling to add stuff to the new machine. Am I right, Logan? Yeah, he says I'm right. All right, you ready? All right, here we go. Watch this.
Today, I address you not only as a citizen of the United States, but as an American, standing for all humanity. We are faced with the gravest of challenges. For the first time in the history of our nation, technology has been activated that attacks our Constitution with a capacity to destroy our future.
Absolute proof of the biggest cyber attack in history. It's a takeover of our country.
We must remove voting machines and any electronic devices from all elections forever. All of you praying with us need to know we have the tools and evidence to prevent catastrophic results, and we can secure our freedom. Everything that can be done to prevent this disaster is being called into service. The human drive for excellence, knowledge. Every step of the ladder of experience has been taken to expose the truth.
Let's take their country. How are we going to do it? Let's use it with computers so we don't even have to fire a shot.
Data experts have worked countless hours to bring forth the truth to the American people. This is a war on national security. This is a war between good and evil. This is a war that will affect what our country becomes.
I just want to know everyone out there, all the evil that's out there, we are never quitting till we get to the truth, ever.
Through all the chaos that is our history, through all of the wrongs and discord, through all the pain and suffering, through all our times, there is one thing that has nourished and elevated our souls, and that is our faith in God and courage. We must be brave.
And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families. We will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever.
Elections have consequences. These selections are transforming the spirit of our country. The focus of the entire nation must be on this event, the moment of truth.
God gave me a platform for a voice for such a time as this.
We as a people must stand for the American dream, one nation under God, for liberty and justice for all.
If the election of 2020 didn't happen, we would never, ever, ever have gotten to this great place we're going to get to. Trust me on that. Ever. This was all God's plan, and we are in the greatest revival for Jesus in history. God bless you all. Thank
Mike
you.
Lindell presents live the Moment of Truth Summit on frankspeech.com. Sign up now.
All right, welcome back. Isn't that something? Yeah, it's going to be a big 2 days, August 20 and 21. All right, joining me now is Leo Holman. Hey, Leo.
Hello, Brannon.
Hello, Leo. Hey, Leo's got a brand new article, folks, over at leoholman.com. Logan will bring it up on his computer. I usually bring stuff up for you guys to watch and see and hear, but we don't have that hooked in tonight. I think Logan will bring it up on his. If he goes to leoholman.com, you'll see a brand new article. The culling of humanity is about to accelerate, taking many children and young adults as the doctors and politicians remain silent. We have a few videos to play, but before we do, tell me about this new article by Leo Holman, Leo.
Brannon decided to check the VAERS report for their most recent data dump. And as you may know, there was a 9-year-old girl that died 2 weeks after she received the Pfizer jab. 9-year-old California girl. And I just got to thinking how broken her parents must feel. They probably did this thinking that they were doing something to help their little daughter stay healthy. And 2 weeks later, you know, out of nowhere, she just up and died. She had 2 or 3 days of like cold symptoms and some chest pain, but not even bad enough to take her to the hospital. And then she just died. I don't know if it was in her sleep, like a lot of these cases, or what. And then I looked in there, and there's at least 9 others in her age bracket, ages 5 to 11, who have already died. And this is just according to VAERS, Brannon, which we know the VAERS reports only represent about 1% of the adverse events taking place as a result of these COVID vaccines. And so, you know, the question is why? Because there's a list a mile long, right, of drugs that have been fully approved, which this one isn't even fully approved. It's still operating under emergency use. But there's a list a mile long of drugs that have been fully approved by the FDA and wind up being pulled off the market, Brannon, because of severe impacts that they find out later on the human body. And so these COVID jabs have now caused more long ago, like within the first 3 or 4 months of the rollout, they'd already caused more adverse events than all the other vaccines combined in history since the VAERS reporting system went online back at around 1990 or 91. So, there's no reason on God's green earth that these COVID injections should still be given out, given the data that they have in their own system. And so you have to then ask the question, why? The only reason, the only feasible, digestible reason, Brannon, would be that they want these jabs to be killing people. And then you look at the history of the people behind who are pushing the jabs. You know, we go back to the Kissinger Report, 1974, the United Nations reports, Bill Gates, all these globalist elites for decades now calling for that we need a smaller population, we need depopulation, we need to drastically reduce the number of people on the earth because we need to, that's the only way they say that we can save the planet, right, from climate change. And then you go into people like Yuval Noah Harari, who really start to boil and drill down, Brannon, to the reason they want fewer people. Harari says it's not just that we have too many people on the earth, it's that we have too many useless people, people who have no value in the new digital economy, which is what the Great Reset is all about. They are launching their new digital economy. They have robots. They have AI. They have computer algorithms. They no longer need as many worker bees, people who work in the factories, people who do menial jobs, people who pick crops, people who do this, that, and the other. They have robots for most of these jobs now. And in the meantime, they feel like with the advances in medical technology and biotechnology and transhumanist advances, they feel they're going to live forever. You know, they're going to live to at least 125 years old. And so what does that mean? They want the resources to be available for them as they live longer and longer. And that means they need to cull the population and get rid of some of these useless eaters.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, and what's really shocking, Leo, is, I don't know, did you see the show I did the other night with Dr. Lee Merritt, with Dr. Andy Woods, with...
No, but she's one of my favorites. What did she say?
Karen Kingston. So Karen Kingston, Lee Merritt, Dr. Woods, and Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. James Thorpe being OBGYN. Well, they were responding to the Creation Ministries International, This is an organization that we promoted for years and had one of their speakers in our studio in February of 2020, as well as at some of our conferences. And to our shock, they got like 70 pages of their ministry website promoting the shot. And then Alex Newman was supposed to interview Gary Bates, but then when he heard what Alex was saying in his monologue about the shots and VAERS data and stuff, he dropped off, and we called him back. The control room called him back, and he said, "I can't be on a show like this." And we were accused of being too far right and conspiracy theory, because they're pushing the shot. And I mentioned that without naming the organization. I didn't even name the organization. And in an interview the other night, and Matt Staver said, "Is that CMI?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." Matt Staver said, "Yeah, I think they fired some of their employees who wouldn't get the shot, which is breaking the law." I'm like, "You're kidding me." It seems as though we're also battling a lot of so-called Christian organizations, Samaritan's Purse, CMI, and so many others that want to push the shot. Pastor Jeffress, First Baptist, I think, isn't he the one that said, was Jeffress, but someone else as well, right, that said Jesus would take the shot if he was here?
That was actually Franklin Graham said that if Jesus were on the earth today, he would get the shot himself and he would tell others to get it.
Yeah. What do you make of all this? I mean, all the evidence is overwhelming. We're laying it out every night, and yet we're battling people in our own camp.
Right. Like I say in the article, we are in the middle of a genocide. It's just now starting to hit the kids because they just started giving these 5 to 11-year-olds the shot about 6 or 7 months ago, and now they're starting to give it to the little kids 6 months old to 4 years old, and so. A lot of these deaths don't occur for weeks or even a few months after they get the shot. Most of them occur within days, but some take weeks or months. And so this is going to be an evolving story, Brannon, as more and more children just up and die mysteriously, suddenly, unexpectedly, unexplainably. These are the words they use. But yet nobody wants to get to the bottom of it. We've seen it with the teenagers and the young adults, the super fit athletes, as you know, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s. But it's about to really hit the kids. And so this is the tragedy that nobody wants to talk about. Whether you're one of those doctors, whether you're telling people to get it, whether you're one of those mega church preachers who's helped the medical community dispense these shots, whether or not you are run a major business, whether or not you are a politician. Now, Brannon, this is something that I address in the article. It doesn't matter how liberal or conservative you are as a politician in today's America, you are likely not talking about this issue. We have a lot of good candidates. A lot of them won last night in the primaries in Michigan and Arizona and a couple of other states. But I'm sorry to say that even our best candidates really are not talking about this issue. And it is the issue of our time. 20 years from now, they will be talking about where were the conservative leaders? Where were the Christian leaders as people were dying from these killer vaccines?
A planned genocide.
Yes.
All right, so what's the video? What video do you think Logan should play first? It's embedded in your article, Leo.
Well, I give a couple videos showing how the robots are just incredibly advanced and how much more advanced they've become just in the last 10 years. A couple of those are rather long. He might play the third. I have three of the videos on the robots.
Let's play a little bit of the third one, Logan. Let's play a little bit of that third one, robotic ghost dog. Let's just a minute or two of that one, Logan.
It's only a matter of time before robots take over the world, right? Well, it looks like that day may be a little bit closer than we thought.
Allow me to introduce you to the Ghost Dog, a semi-autonomous four-legged robot designed to limit human exposure to potential dangers. These not-so-furry creatures specialize in perimeter security, remote inspection, and patrolling. And while they may look like something right out of an episode of Black Mirror, these dogs may soon very well become your neighborhood best friend.
You see, earlier this year, the Air Force began testing these robotic ghost dogs alongside our security forces airmen and found that they could quite possibly be the future of Air Force installation security. I mean, honestly, a dog that doesn't bark or shed and can still provide some top-notch security, you can sign me up for sure.
Now, if you're wondering how the Air Force got involved with robot dogs, it's actually pretty interesting. So back in 2017, the Secretary of the Air Force announced a new program known as AFWERCS, with the goal of fostering a culture of innovation within the service. By establishing AFWERCS, the Air Force began to develop effective solutions to the challenges that they faced through partnerships with private sector businesses and technology startups. So yeah, that leads us to the Ghost Dog. It's a product of the Ghost Robotics Company, who set out to create something smaller and more agile than we've ever seen. This robot is really a force multiplier that can advance the Air Force mission by providing extra security, increased communication, and really a whole lot of other stuff depending on how it's used. Now, the dog I had the chance to get up close with during this specific video is actually on a tour, visiting different Air Force installations and performing demos for base leadership on behalf of the Air Combat Command Agile Battle Lab, which works hand-in-hand with AFWERCS to develop technology and tactics that take the fight forward.
Now, if there's anything you can take away from all that, it's that the Air Force really is trying to innovate and to take all the amazing ideas from our airmen serving all across the world and bring them to the joint fight. Whether that's technological improvements, safety, security, or really anything that makes the job more effective and efficient, the Air Force is interested. Now, if you guys are up for it, I say we go ahead and take an up-close look at the Ghost Dog and see what capabilities it really has.
All right, that's good. All right, so that's interesting. But wasn't there one last week that was shooting a gun?
Absolutely. They talked about the applications there. And what you see happening in the military, our military, Brandon, is they seem to be feminizing the men. But the real brutal killers that they are cultivating are the robots. And you just called it. There's a video out there with one of these ghost dogs with a
machine gun. Hello, I'm Mike Vindellin.
A machine gun on its back, hitting the target like with brutal precision from 200 or 300 yards out. It was unbelievable. And so most of these have military applications. We saw the application in China where they were using these dogs during the lockdowns to keep people in line. They were going down the streets barking out orders for people to stay inside and follow the rules. These are not your friends. Even though when you go on YouTube and watch these videos, they're always presented with a sort of lighthearted, almost in some cases comical tone.
Yeah, that's that's what you heard there. You heard, you know, it doesn't shed, it doesn't bark. I mean,
yes,
they're trying to be funny about this thing. But this is a state-of-the-art equipment that could very easily be turned against the American people.
100%, and that's what I think they are really being designed for,
So if the troops don't want to do it, they'll send out the robots to do it.
Bingo. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And so this is one application, the military, but we also see these robots taking over American factories, doing a lot of the menial tasks that humans no longer want to do, and oftentimes they do it more efficiently. They don't get drunk, they don't have hangovers, they don't call out late and call out sick, and so they really don't need as many people on the earth to perform the functions of making sure the trains run on time, and this is one reason why they are now culling humanity.
Let's go to that clip, the one with Yuval Noah Harari, Logan. Let's play that one where he's talking there. That's a new one that's embedded in Leo's article, his latest article at leohoman.com, leohoman.com. The culling of humanity is about to accelerate, taking many children and young adults as the doctors and politicians remain silent. And why did you include the military ghost dogs with this topic, by the way? Talk about culling the population, why did you include the military dogs with this?
Well, you know,
it just fits right in line with the culling. They don't need as many people to work in the factories, but they also don't need as many people in the Army. We just found out last week that the U.S. Army is reducing its size by 27%. They're kicking out all of the best, some of the best warriors that we have, Brandon, because they won't get these shots, right?
Yeah, exactly.
267,000 U.S. Army soldiers are being removed because they won't get the shots.
Well,
they might just be replaced by a robot.
Well, my wife and I went to a major retail store today. Logan said, hey, we need some power banks and some extension cords we forgot. So we ran to a major retail chain everybody would recognize. And there was maybe, this is a big store, and there was maybe two people checking anyone out, you know, traditional bring your card up, throw it on the conveyor belt, and get checked out by a live human being. They don't want that. Everybody was crowded around these self-serve kiosks, right?
And Walmart is going towards a system of zero cashiers.
Mm-hmm.
Myers, the big chain that operates in the Midwest, the grocery Walmart-like stores, they're doing the same thing. Same with Target. Eventually, all the grocery stores, Kroger and Publix and all of them, will be also eliminating their cashiers. It will be self-checkout only. Correct.
Yeah. Wait till they can let the robots restock the shelves. And I think that will happen.
Yes. Same with your friendly teller at the local bank. They're moving towards, they have been moving for years towards removing the human tellers, and you just deal with the machine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's go to this clip by Yuval Noah Harari. Watch this.
The 21st century, we may see the emergence of a new massive class of useless people. People who have absolutely no economic value. It's estimated that within, say, 30 years or so, up to 50% of the jobs in the job market will be taken over by artificial intelligence and computers. Everything from driving taxis to diagnosing diseases to even teaching, artificial intelligence will be able to do better than humans. You have a small elite that pushes things in its own interests, even if it doesn't benefit the vast majority of the population. This has happened so many times previously in history, and it's probably going to happen again. One of the biggest dangers to the planet today is this technological utopia, because probably for the elite it will work. If bad comes to worse, then when the flood comes, the scientists will build a Noah's Ark for the elite, leaving the rest to drown, the rest of the people and the rest of the ecosystem. But they are likely to be able to construct this technological Noah's Ark, which is probably what much of the elite is counting on. Blockchain. The original blockchain is the Bible. It's based on the same principle. You have, you reach a consensus among many users about a certain block of code, and then you seal it, and you make many copies of it, and then this means that you cannot falsify it. If I change something in my Bible, you take out your Bible, na-na-na-na-na. You see? It's written like this. And people thought, that's it. We got rid of these fallible humans. We now have the Word of God, and nobody can change it, and we have trust. But very, very quickly, they discovered it doesn't work like that, because different people read the same words and interpreted them in a completely different way.
Inflation.
Okay, stop.
When demand is greater than supply, either you get shortages.
All right, that, you know, wow, we. Okay, let's back up a couple clips.
Yeah, there was so much there.
Yeah.
I mean.
So in Noah's Ark, okay, the guy wants to mock Christians in the Bible, but he has to refer to Noah's Ark and the flood. That was interesting. So
right.
He said the elite, they're going to survive. But let me tell you something. I think I've told you guys this story a couple of times. It bears repeating. I have a friend of mine that's a very, 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 very successful CEO. I mean, he built a multi-million dollar company. And he has a friend that is former military, I think Army Ranger. And that friend of his builds multi-million dollar, his company builds, he works for it, builds multi-million dollar bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 years or so ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I was talking to my friend who had just received a phone call from his former military buddy that builds these multi-million dollar bunkers. And his friend, he said, was really shaken. Not because of someone ordering. I'm talking about a underground bunker work that costs several tens of millions to build. That's what they do. What shook him was who ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
The national figure, he said, that everybody would know that ordered this multi-million dollar underground bunker. So when he says the elite are already building their Noah's Ark, go look up all the wealthy elite that are building underground bunkers or bug out places out in New Zealand and other places. They're already doing this. I think that's their Noah's Ark for them. What do you say?
I agree 100%, Brandon. They're building these bunkers in remote areas. Some of them are buying entire islands that they can bug out to. They know something is coming and that it's not going to be, as Harari said, advantageous to the average person. But they will have an escape route already ready for them to bug out from. And I let's watch that second video by Harari, where he clearly spells out what the scientists of the modern day world are really after. It's not about facts and science.
Okay.
If we can get that second video up.
Yeah, let's go to that one, Logan, please.
The second Harari.
Now, the issue of whether the climate crisis is real, that's a purely scientific issue. It's not a matter for politicians or even for voters to say if it's real or not. It's a scientific question. To prevent the apocalypse, we'll probably need to impose some new taxes. As the climate crisis worsens, too many people are swinging from denial straight to despair. I think the chief value of science is power. Science is mainly about gaining power over the world. They use truth to some extent on the way to achieving power or to achieving order, but this is not their highest value.
Say more about power, what do you mean?
I think science as an institution is interested in gaining the power, to gain control over the world. Science is not really, at least this is why I view as a historian, science is not really about truth, it's about power. The real aim of science as a project, as an establishment, is not truth, it's power. Particular individuals, particular scientists, may be very interested in the truth, personally. But as an institution, the real aim of science is power. So maybe my favorite book is Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, which is still, I think, the most prophetic book of the 20th century. Instead of another book, I'll recommend a TV series. I think that Black Mirror is maybe the best science fiction TV show of the last year. You don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being.
Well, he really loves to attack the Bible and Christ and God, doesn't it?
This guy is absolutely
a little antichrist. You know, the Bible says there'll be many little antichrists before the beast is revealed. And I hate to say it, but Yuval Noah Harari seems like a little antichrist.
Yes, he's only like in his mid to late 40s. He's a very young man. So put him down as a candidate for that man of sin spoken of in the Bible. I really truly believe that even if he's not that man, he will be influencing that man.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that for 1 minute. Wow, Leo.
There was so much in there. Yes, it's unbelievable. And all these videos are embedded within the article on my website, leohoman.com.
Yes, they are. leohoman.com, leohoman.com. As always, Leo, thank you for your excellent research and journalism.
Thank you so much, Brandon, for having me on.
Thank you. You too. And Leo will be with us, by the way, at my Ozarks Worldview Weekend, the middle of October 2019. Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, Dr. Peter McCullough, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Dr. Andy Woods, Dr. Lee Merritt, Annie Cyrus. These are some of the folks who will be with us live in person at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend, my 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. If you want to join us and register, there's general seating, priority seating. There's also the conference banquet, concert banquet on Thursday night. That's optional. The optional luncheon on Saturday. But all the details are at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. By the way, not only can you register for our conference there, but you can also order a freeze-dried food that has a 25-year shelf life. Every day we have orders coming in. It is a big part of our general operating budget. I know you can purchase it elsewhere. Thank you for purchasing it from us. We have two guys. That's what they do all day long, is pack this stuff up every day and ship it out. So get your order in now while you can get it. It does have a 25-year shelf life. You can do a 72-hour test kit if you just want to try it out, see what it tastes like. You can go ahead and do a 2-week, 4-week, 3-month, 6-month, 1-year. All the details are at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Folks, I don't know how to warn you anymore. I started this service of offering freeze-dried food in 2016, and 2016 was mocked by some by doing it. Nobody's laughing now. They all realize now. Like so many of the things I wrote about in my first book, my second book, my first book in 93, my second book in 95, so many things we've talked about, warned about, have come true. Problem is, when you're one of the first people to write about it, talk about it, or warn about it, you take the brunt, right? Well, the reality is, these folks are telling us what they want to do. You just heard from Yuval. Let me put my glasses on. Yeah, Yuval Noah Harari. You just heard from Yuval Noah Harari what is going to happen to a bunch of us. He just said, the elite are preparing and everybody else is not going to be able to survive what's coming. Well, maybe you won't if you don't prepare. I do hope the Lord removes the church before some of these things happen, but even if he doesn't, and some of these bad things can indeed still happen before then, I can still be right about my eschatology. But folks, you've had plenty of warning. They're planning something. They're running PSAs for a nuclear attack in New York. Why are they doing that? They're running drills for a dirty bomb in Austin, Texas. Why are they doing that? There are things going on. They're warning us something's coming. I think they're planning it in order to push us where otherwise we would not go. So I would be getting ready if I were you. In fact, I've been getting ready for years. I ordered my first large stock of freeze-dried food in 2013. That's how I ended up becoming a distributor in 2016. And again, it is a big part of our general operating budget. So please check it out at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com.